Good morning, and I'm glad that several of you are here, even though it is last day. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to talk about some of the optimization factors for in general for phytochemicals very quickly, and then I'll show you some of the results, what we got on carotenoid optimization in melons. Then at the end, if I get time, I'll try to show you the bigger picture of this project, because this is part of the bigger SCRI project. So again, this is the work done by one of my postdocs, Dr. Jasbir Singh. He could not be here today. So I think this session, at least, we are talking about phytochemicals. So there are a lot of naturally occurring carotenoids in general. But again, if you really go into the chemistry, probably it'll take 1 hour. So I'm not going to spend time on just the list of carotenoids. So also the sources of carotenoids are different. And of course, here you specifically do not see the melons. And the reason is in melons, particularly in cantaloupe, you find very low levels of beta-carotene, but not other compounds. That's what we assumed earlier. So when you looked at the benefits of the carotenoids in general, there are a lot of things listed. I think in the last 10, 20 years, there's a lot of research going on how these compounds play a role in different diseases, particularly anti-cancer activity, antioxidant. But now in the last 5 years, we are understanding how these phytochemicals, particularly carotenoids, play a role in microbiota. So whether to increase or lowering some of these phytochemicals, is it good? We don't know, because unless we understand the whole role of these phytochemicals in human health, that's more complete picture than just claiming some of the inhibition effects. So with that, I'll just show you one slide. Of course, in carotenoids, you probably find thousands of literature on cellular level and animal level. But there are some human clinical trials are also done, and in fact, in some cases, it showed carotenoids at the higher concentration. If you give it to the smokers group, you will see the increase in cancer, particularly lung cancer. So sometimes, depending on who are consuming these type of compounds. So in this case, it's an animal study. If you give a higher dose of carotenoids, the effect is not good in cardio protection. The lower dose is probably effective. Again, we still don't know the reason, but at least in the human clinical trials, it shows that if their oxidative stress is lower, you can find the benefits of the cancer. But if your oxidative stress is higher, that is in smokers group, those who are smoking 20 cigarettes per day, they could not get the benefit. So showing that, the other challenge of the carotenoids is the bioavailability. I think some of you are already aware of that. So sometimes you need either food source or some fat, whatever, the oil or whatever. So in this case, in Ohio State, they showed that by adding avocado, you can enhance the absorption or bioavailability of the lycopene and beta-carotene. And also by adding olive oil, you can enhance the bioavailability of the carotenoids and in general and lycopene also in specific. So here there is a study also done, depending on the type of the structure of the carotenoids. For example, here if you look at the papaya, it shows lipid dissolved. And in case of carrot, it's a large crystals. So when you see those kind of structures, we thought carotenoids are same in all the crops. It's not true. So when you see that, the absorption, for example, in case of papaya, you can see that the absorption of carotenoids is better in papaya because it's lipid soluble or lipid dissolved compared to carrot, which is a large crystals. So that means there are so many factors plays a role when you're trying to increase or manipulate some of these phytochemicals. Just that gives an idea what all we need to be understanding the role of phytochemicals. So this is just a list of the process we go through in extraction and analysis of carotenoids, which I'm not going to spend too much time, but this is just the steps, the schematic steps. So this gives you an idea where we can use different injecting solvents. For example, in this case, if you use the 2-propanol, you can see that how the peak is really not sharp. So identifying the right solvent is very critical for getting a real sharp peak of some of the phytochemicals, in this case, carotenoids. So this is another example when you find some of the isomers of beta-carotene, when you use the 30% dichloromethane, you can see that you can find 2 isomers of the beta-carotene, not just one. So what is that indicates is how do you dissolve these compounds or extracts, and then what solvents you use is very critical. So again, here we'll show you some examples we did. Some of my previous students did some work, like for example, in case of flavonoids in pepper, if you use ethanol, you can see the higher yield of flavonoids. But also if you look at the same in pepper, in the second or third row, when you use DMF, we can extract some of the new compound, which is not earlier quantified in pepper, that's myristate, which we're not earlier identified at all. This is again previously published work. Again, similarly, one of my postdoc work on spinach, you can see that if you use acetone, you can see that we can find some new compounds at a very high level. Again, the reason I'm showing you is each of these extraction and analysis we have been doing for the last, whatever, 30, 40 years. Sometimes when we start this work, we just take what is available in the literature, we continue on it. But what we are exploring in the last 10 years in our lab is each of these different phytochemicals, what are the optimum conditions for extraction and analysis? That's what we're doing for the last several years. Even 20 years ago, if you ask me, I was working on quercetin, we were just going by the literature. So now we're finding the blending time, the extraction solvent we are using is really playing a bigger role. So this is just to now coming to the topic. There are a lot of phytochemicals in melons. We thought it's only beta-carotene. So we find there are a lot of other components which are really good for health. So there is literature available. Each group is using different types of solvents, and their extraction time and the analysis time is different. In the left side, you can see that they use 92 minutes, which is probably very expensive to analyze phytochemicals, right? So on the right side, you see 20 minutes, and the third one is only 15 minutes. And in all of this literature available in melons, at least, we don't see an optimization factors. They have not tried to optimize the blending time and the solvents. So that's the limitation we thought we should really do that first before we go for the bigger picture of analyzing phytochemicals in melons. So the next slide will show you what we did some work in orange, in citrus in general, in grapefruit and orange. If you use the chloroform and acetone, 1:1 and 1:3, you see the better separation of the carotenoids in general, the lycopene isomers as well as the, in general, beta-carotene. This is in orange, of course, not in melons. But again, here you can see that when you use chloroform, if you look at the bottom, 1:3, you can see the better separation of the beta-carotene compared to chloroform on the top. And again, the flow rate also influences a lot in beta-carotene. So this is an example. We did several combination of solvents. It's kind of a fermentation combinations. When we use that 5 minutes and chloroform 1:3, you find the extraction of the beta-carotene in melons particularly is very higher compared to any other extractions. So again, with the zeta-carotene, which we thought we may not have zeta-carotene in melons, we see that again the same trend is happening. So this, of course, we did a lot of studies. Again, that's what I'm coming to the larger picture of the project now. We are growing melons in 7 states in the U.S. It's a large product of the SCRI CAPS grant. We're evaluating for different phytochemicals, not just carotenoids, and we're also doing a lot of other studies in human health benefits. So this is an example where you find the F39, one of the Western shippers, you see that it stand out with the PC analysis compared to other fruits. And also on the right side, you will see that one of the honeydew 252. So basically this shows that based on the carotenoid profile, you can separate some of these varieties. This is again one state. But when you look at again different phytochemicals, in particularly carotenoids in melons, you can see that again the F39 stands out very good in most of the carotenoids and in case of melons. And I'm rushing again because I don't have to spend too much in detail, but I want to get to the bigger picture of the project. And we thought lycopene is not available in melons. We thought lycopene is available in only grapefruit and tomato. When we're looking for, because our project is looking for some new bioactive compounds in melons, not just going by beta-carotene. So if you look at this, when you zoom in to the second part, we found some small amount of the cis form of the lycopene. We need cis form of the lycopene, not the trans for the human health benefits. Again, this is very early on when we're doing a evaluation of breeding lines. We're expecting some lycopene also in melons. We always found beta-carotene, right? Of course, watermelon is rich in lycopene. So this is another example of the, again, oranges. You can see that when you look at that chlorophyll 1:3, you can see that the lycopene and beta-carotene is very high. What is that proves is different crops have different extraction limitations, but for individual crops, we had to identify. In the orange, it is shown that, and it is in our case, it's also saying the same solvent is working for melons. So now, we wanted to test whether this chloroform acetone works. So when we use that, this is one of the example of the commercial products. When we use different types of juice, we see that melon juice has some carotenoids. If you see in the top right on the left side, on the right side, the small amount of carotenoids are noticed. It's again, when you compare to different products, yes. So when you compare to different products, you see that the beta-carotene is there, but of course lycopene is not there in any of these commercial products, in melon products particularly. So this is a conclusion of the part where we see that chloroform acetone is the best solvent. and beta carotene is higher in F39, and lycopene, and we find some in now, but again, it's the coming 4 years, we may find some melons with the rich in this compound. So this is a bigger picture where we are basically evaluating a different varieties of melons from different states, and you'll see that with this method, we are able to identify the Tuscan type and also the Harper type, Da Vinci. We find the beta carotene is higher in different states. And again, this is another example of the phytoene and beta carotene. Again, similar varieties are showing higher level. And again, zeta carotene is higher in F39. And this is a PCA plot, and you can see that F39 stands out on the left side. On the right side, you see that the Tuscan Da Vinci. That shows that some beta, based on the beta carotene, you can differentiate the crops from different locations in the United States. So again, here the beta carotene in Uvalde is higher in F39, but in most of the other varieties, including excluding California, you see that the beta carotene is higher in F39. I'm sorry, Tuscan type. So this is the group of students and postdocs working on melon project right now in our lab, so postdocs and other scientists. So this is supported by SCRI. But I would like to show you just 1 or 2 minutes the people involved in this big project, bigger picture. There are scientists from about 7 states, 23 scientists from 7 states involved. And there are some key leaders there, and I highlighted in different color, but others are also providing fruits from growing in different, and we have some extension agents growing these crops in different states. So there are several seed companies that are providing seed material to grow, develop some of the new varieties of melons for human health benefits. And these are again producers organization in different states are collaborating in our project and associations. And this is the system-wide approach. Basically, we are not depending on only one aspect on health. We are depending on the breeders, crop management experts, and food safety expert in Arizona. And then we have a consumer and statesman, which we don't have the time to show you all the results now. But this is where we are growing all the melons. And we, as you can see, that Arizona, we had a field day and we had an industry meeting. And what I'm showing here is when you take a melon, let us say if the melon comes from Georgia, for example, it comes to Texas, it goes to Arizona for food safety, the same melon we'll be using for consumer panel as well as for the sensory panel. Yeah, my time is another 2 minutes left here. So basically what I'm trying to show you here is we don't want to use the different melons. We want to use the same melon. So in the next slide, you'll see that the same cubicles, the cubes are used for the consumer panel and for the extraction and also for genomic work, RNA extraction. That way, we don't have any variation, at least, to understand how these play a role. So again, this is a consumer panel picture. The food safety analyst in Arizona. Any questions? I thought I'll exceed the time.